Wherever you are, do not break the stillness of this moment. For this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is The Haunting Hour.
Like an intelligent man, so you won't be depressed by the simple severity of my quarters. Nothing presumptuous about this, eh? Oh, pardon me. I'm afraid I'm forgetting the rules of hospitality. Won't you be seated?
Thank you.
Yes, I'm very glad you're an intelligent person. It adds so much zest to the game.
The game? Tell me, what do you mean?
Well, life is a game, a contest of wits in which the strong always win. I ought to know. I have a strength that defies the rules which govern ordinary people, you know.
I should think you would believe differently by now. But alas, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
Saith the preacher, yeah. I think I'll call you Padre.
Why not? Many people do.
Good, good. To you, I shall confess the sins of my deeds. Or perhaps I should call them misdeeds. And then I'll leave you here, a corpse, as a mute testimonial of my confession.
You'll do what?
I'll do exactly what I said I would. And then I'll nonchalantly leave this house of the condemned. See, that's what it is in your case. For you are the condemned. That's the game that I referred to. I tell you what I'm going to do and challenge you to keep me from doing it.
But I can call.
Oh, yes, you can call for help. Yes, you're wrong, though. Although I grant you there are plenty around here who would be glad to help you. But you will not be able to call them.
And why not?
Because you will be paralyzed by the fear that I inspire in you.
Vanity?
Oh, don't start that again. Though I must admit my ego did have something to do with my sending for you. But I don't let my ego run wild. I govern it with logic.
Specifically, why did you send for me?
Because I have a pent-up urge to brag.
Well, I'll be glad to listen. You can tell me anything you wish.
You see, I'm a genius. You'll believe that when I tell you about some of my exploits. In spite of yourself, you will admire my criminal ingenuity. I'll see it in your eyes, and then I'll gloat. It'll appeal to my ego. But that isn't enough. You see, I don't take chances. That's where logic enters.
Logic?
Yes, the logic of pain, the delight that I experience when people suffer. That's why I became a criminal.
Surely there must be a way.
No, Padre, there is no way to escape me.
I do not wish to escape. That isn't what I meant.
Oh, isn't it? But we'll see as we play my little game. You will listen to me and hope that my tale of crime never ends. Because when it does, your life ends. And in a way, mine begins all over again.
Now I know that hope springs eternal.
Does it? Well, I'll replace your hope with fear. Maybe I ought to tell you a little story about how I did that once before.
something to eat?
Hungry, are you?
You said it, mister. I ain't had a decent meal in I don't know how long.
Oh, is that so? Well, how would you like to eat regularly?
Oh, say, I like that swell. What would I have to do?
Nothing.
Nothing? I don't get it.
You will. Come along with me.
Hey, why have you got me locked up in this room, mister? Well, what's the big idea, anyway?
You'll find out.
Feels a lot like being in the jug, you know? This room looks a lot like a cell, too. The iron bars and the door and all. I've been here 3 days now and nothing ain't happened. I don't get it.
Don't worry, you will.
I can wait. Ain't bad. Nothing to do. Eats is mighty good. How'd you fare on it?
Will you? Well, that remains to be seen. But I'm glad you're thinking about food.
Look, mister, I've been here a week now, and still nothing ain't happened.
Hasn't anything happened?
No, except you're getting a little stingy with the eat.
So you've noticed that, huh? Well, that is fine. Just keep on thinking about food.
I don't get it.
Don't rush matters, my friend. You will.
Look, mister, I've been here about 2 weeks now. I ain't exactly sure about it anymore. I've been kind of losing track of the time, but please let me out of here. Let me go. I ain't never done nothing to you.
That's right. But I am doing something to you.
Yeah, I know. Meals are getting smaller and smaller.
Correct. Your food is being decreased meal by meal, and it's going to continue that way. Interesting, isn't it?
Not to me, it ain't. Please, mister, let me out of here. Please, don't starve me to death.
You were starving when I picked you up.
Yeah, but that was different. I had hopes of getting a meal now and then. I had hopes.
You had hopes then. Now you haven't. Now you have fear.
Please, mister. Please let me out of here. I'd do anything you want. Only let me out of here. I don't want to starve to death.
Well, my friend, how do you feel today? You've been here 26 days now, you know.
Please.
Doesn't your diet agree with you?
Please. Please. Please.
And would you believe it, Padre? On the 29th day, the fool died.
Oh, horrible.
Yes, wasn't it? Yet he didn't actually starve. He was getting enough food to sustain him. It was fear that killed him.
There are those who are not afraid of death.
Oh, are there? You know, I've heard that before, but I've never seen it work. And I've seen quite a few people die. Quite a few. But perhaps it's the way I made them die that had something to do with it.
I want to help you. Think back to the days of your innocent childhood. Perhaps in those memories you will find a spark of decency. Tell me about your childhood.
Oh, my innocent childhood. Oh, my, Padre, how touching. My innocent childhood. My childhood wasn't innocent. I was quite young when I started. I still get a thrill when I recall what happened to the socially prominent Mrs. Edward Rumminger. She was one of those domineering dowagers with 3 inherited fortunes and as many chins. Well, Padre, at a garden party once.
The party is so delightful, Mrs. Rollins.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
And what a lovely handbag you have there.
I'm glad you like it. It has the cleverest gadget. Let me show you. Look out. It's Mrs. Rollinger. She's fainted.
Her chair broke and she fell.
Luke, there's a snake wriggling out of her handbag.
Somebody get a doctor, quick.
There's no need. She's dead.
Yes, the wealthy Mrs. Edward Rumminger had parted from this life. Rather foolish of her, since the snake that I had put in her handbag was harmless. But the lady's sudden death had robbed me of the full enjoyment that I was entitled to. You see, the executioner is like a scientist watching a difficult experiment. Base metal transmuted into gold, to life into death.
Go on. Tell me more about yourself.
Good. Tell me more about yourself. The game is going exactly as I planned. Now let me tell you the case of young Rodney Sherwood. You see, he drank too much. You know the type, young, handsome, wealthy, habitué of nightclubs, mentioned quite regularly in the gossip columns. Well, he was athletic, too. Proud of his fine young physique. Well, one afternoon, at an exclusive rifle.
Oh, let's see how good I am today, Doc.
Well, I'll bet those last three highballs won't help his aim any.
You better not shoot today, Rod.
Huh?
You're not in, well, shall we say, good form.
Oh, listen, Doctor. Liquor never interferes with my shooting. I got nerves of iron. That's what I got.
Rod, I don't want to be a killjoy.
Oh, Doc, you mean swell. I mean, you mean well, but you're an alarmist. You're an alarmist. That's what you are.
I promise your father. Oh, come now, be a good fellow.
Oh, but I am good, Doc. You just watch how good I am with this gun. You just wait. Just watch and see.
Well, we're waiting.
All right, here goes.
Good heavens. The gun blew up in his hand. Rod. Rod, old man.
Lord. His arm. How horrible.
Much as I hate to write you this, but you may as well know the truth, Sherwood. Since your son Rodney had that terrible accident with the overloaded gun a few years ago, we have had to give him sedatives regularly to kill the pain. Soon enough, he could not live without the sedatives. I've done everything I can.
That's more like it. The victim of that experiment didn't pass out quickly, like a candle blown out by a hurricane. No, he lingers on, and suffers, and others suffer with him.
Perhaps I don't understand. What did you have against those people?
Oh, not a thing. One doesn't have to bear a grudge to commit crime.
But man has a finer purpose, a nobler mission on earth. To alleviate pain, to pacify troubled minds and spirits. That is the greatest source of satisfaction.
Nonsense.
I know whereof I speak. I have dedicated my life to that.
Yes. Then you'd better start pacifying your own mind. Mine is at peace when I remember the sounds other people made when my plan struck home. I can hear them now. There's the chair splintering under Mrs. Rumminger's fall. Rodney Sherwood's gun exploding in his hand. The last sounds of other victims. By what sound will I remember your death, Padre? Your memory. I sent for you so I can brag about my crimes and then eliminate any chance of your betraying me by killing you when I finish my story. I promise to paralyze you with fear so that you won't call for the help that is so near in this house of the condemned. You are the condemned, for when my tale of crime ends, your life ends, and then I shall nonchalantly leave this place. You label this as vanity of vanities, so much like a preacher that I call you Padre. I've told you about some of my crimes. Now I'll go on. Well, Padre, are you beginning to understand why I say I have a strength that defies the rules which govern ordinary people?
I've already said you're a strange man. Tell me the rest of your story.
Oh. Worried about your life, Padre? Oh, I'm not going to kill you yet. You see, I am an astute student of crime. I, Judson Reeves, know more about scientific crime detection than the police. Right now, I'll tell you about one of my masterpieces, the Larkins case. You remember that?
Yes, I remember it very well.
Thank you. It made quite a stir, and deservedly so. Now you'll really know what happened to Stephen Larkins. He was one of those strong-minded individuals you meet once in a while. You know, the type that's bound to succeed by the time he reaches middle age. Mind you, Padre, I said he was the type. For Steve Larkins didn't attain middle age.
Please.
Oh, don't you want to hear about it?
Please, I'm trying.
You're trying to think of how to call for help, but you may as well forget it. You haven't got a chance.
What makes you so certain?
Padre, I always know what I'm doing. And this time, in spite of appearances, is no exception. You'll do better to listen to me carefully. And while you're listening to the story of the Larkins case, you may start wondering what means I'll use to kill you. It's a pleasant thought, isn't it, Padre?
You're obsessed with the thought of killing.
That's right. That's right. And to show you how much I appreciate that observation, I'll think of something special for you. You're the gentle type. You're not at all like stubborn, strong-minded Stephen Larkins. Breaking him down was one of the greatest thrills of my life. I locked him up in a cell about the same size as this room. But it wasn't an ordinary cell. It was painted blood red. Red is such a disturbing color, don't you think? Larkins didn't mind it at first, as the light turned on and off every second, alternating to blood red with pitch darkness. Not even the clicking sound of the special automatic switch seemed to bother him. Seemed like only yesterday when he said...
Look here, you. I don't know who you are, but let's get down to business. You've kept me here 2 days now. Why? If this is a kidnapping, you're wasting your time. And what's more, you're wasting mine, too. I don't have any money for ransom. And what's the idea of the blamed light going on and off every second or so? If you want to keep me in darkness, it's all right with me. And if you want me to admire this red room, it's all right, too. But this business of the light going on and off is silly. Yes, and another thing. That policeman's uniform you're wearing doesn't fool me. I know you're not a cop. Step forward so I can see your face. Oh, you won't, eh? And you won't talk to me either. Well, I can wait here as long as you can.
You see, that was the important factor, Padre. Could he wait as long as I? It was to be a battle of nerves and wills. And I wasn't underestimating my opponent. I continued the treatment without variation. Just the light switching on and off in that blood-red cell. And I continued to stay where he could see me in a policeman's uniform. The light was arranged so that he couldn't see my face. Well, this went on for a week, and then...
Say, will you tell me why you're keeping me a prisoner in this goofy cell? Oh, come on and talk. I admit I lied to you. I have some money. If you let me out of here, I'll pay you a reasonable amount and we'll forget the whole thing. I won't report it to the police. What do you say? Oh, come on, be a good fellow. Oh, so you won't answer. All right, keep me in this bloody cell. Let that light flash on and off. I don't care. I can take it.
And he could, too. Remarkable individual, that fellow. He had great powers of concentration. As powerful as mine. At least that's what I thought at the time. That made this clash of personalities so fascinating and dramatic. After 2 weeks in the cell, Larkin started reciting poetry out loud to break the monotony and to occupy his mind. You should have heard him.
She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes. Thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to body gave.
He recited all the poetry he knew. Then he started on bits from the Constitution to get his burg address and such. Finally, he started on the multiplication table.
Two times two are four. Three times two are six. Four times two are eight. Five times two are ten. 6 times 2 are 12. 7 times 8 are 56. 8 times 8 are 64. 9 times 8 are 72. 10 times 8 are 80. 3 times 3 are 9. 4 times 3 are 12. 9 times 3 are... She walks in beauty like the... 6 times 4 are 24. 8 times 4 are 20. A more perfect union promotes the general welfare, ensure the blessed. 4 times 9 are 36. 2 times 9 are 20. Stop it. Stop it. I can't stand it anymore.
Red! Red! Blood! Blood! Blood everywhere! Please! Please! And blood! I had won. Larkins was mad. Stark, raving mad.
How ghastly.
Yes, wasn't it? But that wasn't all. I got more than I bargained for. Blood and the police were on Larkin's insane mind. I knew this, so I released him and shattered him. And what do you think he did?
Must we go into that?
Certainly. It's the most delightful part of the entire experiment. You see, Larkin staggered down the street like a wounded animal. People who saw him thought he was drunk and gave him a wide berth. And then he saw a policeman. With a cry of rage, like a jungle animal, he threw himself at the unsuspecting cop. The policeman struggled vainly. Larkin strangled him with his hands before the crowd could pull him off. I saw it all, and I can tell you it was quite a spectacle. Quite a spectacle. Yes, that was a most interesting case. Don't you think so, Padre?
It was horrible. Horrible beyond words. Surely at a time like this, you must realize that.
Why say at a time like this? There hasn't been any change in my nature.
But you must know...
I know what you're thinking. But you don't know what's in my mind. You see, there's where I have the advantage of you, Padre. An advantage that you will never understand.
Believe me, this is no time for vain boasting.
I believe you. But I am not boasting. I am stating a simple fact. You see, I deal with facts. The facts of crime. That's why I'm beyond the rules of common men. You see, that's why I was able to make such a thrilling case of the Larkins affair. Where others would have left a botched up mess.
And you don't think you left it a botched up mess?
You're not as intelligent as I thought you were. If you can't appreciate a masterpiece like the Larkins case, well, then there's no use my talking to you. No use at all. Might just as well take care of you right now.
You don't... Is your story finished?
You worried? Yes, it is. All except for you, Padre. Your time has come. Yes. Why don't you call for help? Go on. Call. It's just beyond this wall.
But you don't understand.
I don't understand. I understand that I have won my little game.
Then I have failed.
Naturally.
I have failed to
because
show you the error of your...
Because after I kill you, do you know what I am going to do? I'm going to put on your clothes and walk out of here without... any interference from anyone.
But it isn't possible. You mustn't think such things.
Oh, yes, I must. And you were so sure of yourself. I think I'll kill you with a hatpin trick. Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll kill you with a hatpin trick.
Was it Judson Reeves? As warden of this prison... I have a duty to perform. Do you have any last request before you're escorted to the execution chamber?
You'll have to wait. Don't bother me. Here's the hatpin. That's what I use. I've always wanted to try that method.
Guards, take him away.
Come along, Reeves.
A hatpin! I want to use a hatpin! A hatpin!
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
Shadows and stillness. Mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.